Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that
open our Bibles this evening to Colossians 1 and reading from verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Romans 5 and verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we now stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we read two scriptures showing that there is a hope or an earnest expectation which we have of your glory, your doxa, your opinions, values, and judgments, and we know it comes through grace. And so, Father, we just ask you to help us as we study this morning within the veil. Help us, Lord, to go deeper and deeper and deeper inside of this body flesh until we come face to face with your gene seed that has been quickened by your Holy Spirit, because we know that you're in us. Your scripture says if the same one who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in us, it will quicken our mortal bodies. And so, Father, we're asking for that quickening. We're asking for that spirit of adoption to be fulfilled in the adoption itself, the redemption of the body. We long to get out of these bodies of this death and have a body commensurate with the resurrected life that lays within us. So, Father, we just ask you to be with us now tonight in service as we prepare ourselves in reflecting upon the communion table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to pick up at paragraph 186. We read this morning 185, where Brother Bradham says, Father, we pray today that these, Lord, who are not yet through that veil, they're standing out there like Israel, they're watching. They believe, but they've never broke into this yet, to see that great Shekinah light, both spiritual and physical, insomuch that the mechanical eye of the camera keeps taking the picture. Just 2 weeks ago, caught it again. You're revealing yourself, Lord, the mighty God, unveiled to the believer, still veiled to the unbeliever, but unveiled to the believer. May they break through today, Lord, see his great splendor and glory. May their hearts be changed before we even get back to church tonight. May they all be filled with your spirit, your presence. May the master pick up the faith that they've got, streak it across the word. May the tune come back, thou hast been ordained before the foundations of the world to believe this. Believe, my child, and be saved. Father God, we commit them into your hands now, realizing there's nothing more than we can do. It's all with you now, Father. I give them to thee in the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son. Amen. Now, that's a beautiful prayer, and he just says maybe three or four more paragraphs after that, and then we close out this study of Brother Bannon's sermon. But you're noticing, again, he's talking about going inside, going inside, going inside, until we come face to face with the mighty God unveiled. He says it's unveiled to the believer, but it's still veiled to the unbeliever. And so we're going to go back to look at some things this evening, from paragraph 131, Brother Bassett. But then the real believers, they couldn't explain it, but they believed it anyhow. They went on through the veil tradition of the unbelievers taken away. You see God. When the veil of traditions has been removed, you can see that God is still God of his word. He still keeps his word. He's the God author of his word that is hid behind skin veils to others. Remember, it says we're hidden Christ with God. So, anyway, author of his word that is hid behind skin veils to others. Yes, that is right. To those who cannot go behind the veil, he's still behind skin veils. Notice then, we become part of him, and as you are the veil that veils him, you are a part of him as long as Christ is in you, as Christ was in God, or as Christ was of God, because God was in him. That made him God. Now, I just love that, because notice what he said here is, he said God was in him is what made him God. He continues in paragraph 133, And as Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you become part of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. See, you become part of Christ as long as Christ is hid in you. Then it's veiled to the unbeliever, but you know he is in you. Because that's a critical thing in our walk as a Christian, to know that Christ is in us. As it says in Romans 8, you know, that and his spirit will bear witness with your spirit. You're templing Christ, that's behind the veil, the skin. Then we become behind, because of this veil, the veil again in human flesh, hides God, the Word, from the unbeliever. No wonder they could not take Brother Branham. No wonder they could not take the flesh of Brother Vail. And I say, no wonder they could not take my flesh. It hides God from them. It's hiding the Word from them because they are not meant to see it. He goes on, he says, as it is written, see, written, you are written epistles, the Bible said. Now, what is an epistle? It's a written word, and you are the written. In other words, you read it like this way, he'd say, well, you are written epistles, or you are the word that has been written, made manifest. Nothing can be added to it. See, if you've already been written, there's no adding to it. You understand? All right. Nothing can be added to it. You can't say, well, I'm a written epistle, and then living some other kind of a something. But what this has already been wrote, because nothing can be added or taken away. As Dr. Lee Vail is writing this famous book, I want you to see it after a while. Brother Vail here is on the ground somewhere. I've seen him outside. I don't think he can get in. But he's writing a book there, and very astounding, of the Laodicean Age. And I want you to do it, and it'll be off the presses very soon. So we're taking the last reading of it now, and was writing, and we was discussing it in there, see, about, and everyone, they always come to me and they say, well, Brother Branham, them seven thunders that the voice thundered, and he said, write it not. See, close it up. Said, that'll be the seven thunders that will be revealed in the last days. See, seven thunders that'll tell us. Now, don't that sound real good? See? But watch what you're talking about when you say that. You see, there's still people praying that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us the seven thunders when it's already been revealed. All right? He said, but watch what you're talking about when you say that. He said, well, you see that you write it not. See the seven thunders utter their voices. See, and he said, don't write that. See, but it's to be sealed up in the book until the last days. Now, many has been saying to me, and theologians said, well, Brother Branham, if the Lord God, if with your experiences that the Lord has given you for his people, humbly saying this, said, you'd be eligible to write a Bible yourself. Your word that God has manifested. I said, well, that might be true. See? But he was trying to catch me. See? And I said, but you see, I couldn't do that. Well, if he couldn't do that, why? He said, why couldn't you? You have all the qualifications. I said, but you look, one word cannot be added or taken away. See? And he said, well, then, them seven thunders, you see, he said, wouldn't them seven thunders blasting out, won't that be a revelation be given to some man? I said, no, sir. It would be adding something, or it would be taking something from it. It's all revealed in there. Where? Right there. It's all revealed in there. Let me see where we left off here. And the seven seals opened up the revelation of what that was. See? He's still in the Word. You see, you can't get out of that Word. It won't leave the Word. And God's Spirit will never leave that Word. It'll stay right with the Word, blinding some and opening the eyes of others. It'll always do that. Now, I know there are some people, right, in this message who believe that God is somehow still in the future, sometime soon, that God is going to reveal the seven seals. And they believe that that has not happened yet. But they are not saying what God's prophet said about those seven seals, because Brother Branham already told us the seven thunders were revealed when the seven seals were opened. He said each thunder was the peeling back of the seal. When it thundered, a seal was being opened. When it thundered again, so seven thunders, seven seals open, you see. From question and answers, Conduct Owner Doctor, Brother Brown is asked the question, have the seven thunders, which equal seven mysteries, already been revealed? were they revealed in the seven seals, but are yet not known to us as the thunders yet? See, that's in the mind of a lot of people in this message, the majority. Now, listen carefully to his answer, because people listening to tapes, not really listening in order to compare spiritual things with spiritual, but they listen more out of duty. If I listen, I will make the rapture, and that's wrong revelation. You're not going to make the rapture because you're listening to a tape. You're going to make the rapture because you were ordained to make the rapture. And you listen to tapes because you enjoy listening to tapes, not out of duty to make the rapture. You must hear the voice of God and hear, and the word hear means understand. From hearing, recognizing, and acting on the word, Brother Branham says, first, faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. Then the believers hear it, he recognizes it, and he acts on it. The carnal man will hear it, the sound of it, but never. Hear means to understand. Understand it. Look at is something, is looking at something, but to see it is to understand. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. And from seed shall not be heir with a shuck, Brother Brown says. Now, if you'll take St. John 5:24, listen to this. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. Now, how would that be so much different from many of our theologies? Now, I could walk out here and say to the drunkard, do you believe? Well, sure. A man with another man's wife, do you believe? Sure. Did you sit in the meeting last night and hear the word? Sure. You believe it? Sure. He's just saying that. But the original interpretation of this word, he that understandeth my word and will believe on him that sent me, he that understands. That is to who it is made known to. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father has drawn him, and all that the Father has given me, they will come. My sheep, my doves, hear my voice. A stranger, they will not follow. And what is the voice of God? It is the Word of God. It's not a tape. I'm sorry, the tape is not the voice of God. The voice of God is on the tape. But the tape itself is not the voice of God. Brother Branham's voice was not the voice of God. It was the voice of Brother Branham. Reading or explaining to us the voice of God, which is the Word of God. The voice of God, he says right here, very plain, is the Word of God. What any man's voice, but what his word? It's the Word of God. They'll hear the Word of God. In other words, they will understand the Word of God, and all others cannot understand the Word of God. In fact, that's what Paul taught us in 1 Corinthians 2, that no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. In fact, in the Philadelphia Church Age, in the Church Age book, he goes on to talk about that. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, I don't care how many hours a day you may listen to a tape of our dear prophet. And my desire is that you would listen to his sermon every day. But that doesn't mean that you understand what he's saying. And you can hear all day long or listen all day long. But if you do not understand it by the word, then how are you going to act upon what is said? And you'll not make it unless you understand what is being said by the Word of God. For the Word of God is the voice of God. And the only way you'll understand it is if you've got the same Holy Ghost that wrote it living in you. And let's face it, William Branham said he did not preach anything but what Paul already preached. He came to restore, not add to his own thinking to it. And the people cried out, we're counting on that. That's what they're missing. Brother Brown said, I only preached what Paul preached and the people that were there. They said, we're counting on that. So what were the people counting on? The fact that William Branham only preached what Paul preached. That's it. And for anyone to believe that just pushing play will get you into the rapture is totally against what our dear prophet taught. In fact, there's not one quote where he said push play. Not one. He said, you must hear, which means you must understand. And when you do understand, you will recognize what is being said, that it comes from the Scripture, and then you will act upon your recognition of that Scripture. From his sermon, God of this Evil Age, Brother Brown said, you listen to only one voice. You see, what they're trying to say is that one voice is William Branham. He says, you listen to only one voice. My sheep know my voice. A stranger they'll not follow. What is his voice? Well, any man's voice is his word, and this is it, the Bible. Not one word to be added to it or taken from it. It just stay right with the voice. What is the voice? The Bible. A stranger they won't follow, a denomination. From concerned and convinced, he said, my sheep hear my voice. They know the word. Because why? The word hear means understand. So let's read it again. My sheep understand my voice. Why? They know the word. All right, from leadership. Okay, think today the hearts are becoming stony, filled with the word, indifferent, church members, lukewarm, like that rich young ruler, and don't know that the great Holy Spirit standing, knocking at the door in this Laodicean age. He that will hear my voice, the word. Now, I didn't write that. He did. The word will open his heart. I'll come into him and will sup with him. So the foolish virgin didn't know the great Holy Spirit was there. That was speaking of his great parousia, which is his great presence. They didn't know who it was that was knocking at the door. Behold, the bridegroom is here. Come out to meet him. They didn't come out to behold him, because that is what the message was all about. Excuse me. All of them came out. They came out to behold him, because that's what the message is all about. Behold, he's here. Come out to meet him. That is what the midnight cry that they heard with their ears, as Brother Brown said, the listening of it, but because they didn't have the oil, which is the Holy Ghost in their vessel, within their veil, so that when they went out to see him, they didn't recognize the one who was standing there at the door. Therefore, they went off to them that sell, and they missed his presence altogether. That's why they call it false doctrine. So why did they miss the presence of the bridegroom? Because they didn't understand. Which means they were foolish. And they look, what is a foolish person? It's a person that doesn't understand, right? What does it mean to hear? To understand. So you can listen 24/7 to tapes, but unless you understand it by the word, unless you hear it, recognize it, that means to understand it, and then act upon it, it doesn't do you any good. They were virgins, yet they were foolish because they lacked understanding of what the shout called for them to do. The message was, behold, he is here, the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Him. And so what do? They point to the vessel. They point to the Eliezer. Now, can you imagine Eliezer going to get a bride for Isaac? And then she rides with him on the power of the camel. Brother Master, the same power that will pack him home. And they get to the tent. It's all symbolic. And she goes in, and she's supposed to go in and to marry Isaac. And she says, well, wait a minute, I don't need him. I've got Eliezer. That's happening, brother, sister. That's what's happening. Well, I've got Eliezer. I don't need Isaac. The message was, behold, he is here. Come out to meet him. And I can just see them walk out of their churches and look around and see nothing, because God is spirit. But had they understood the appearing was to come before the coming, they would not have looked for a vessel, flesh and blood, but they would have laid in the presence of the Son to ripen. Yes, it is true, they all heard the midnight cry, the shout, the message. Verses 4:13-18, which we know to be the message. But because they didn't understand who it was that was in their midst, they simply came out with the wise virgins who did know and who did understand by Scripture the midnight cry, the shout, which was, behold, he is here. Come out to meet him. So had they understood the message, they would have understood just coming out, leaving their churches, was not enough. They were supposed to come out to meet him whose presence was standing there at the door. And they came out, they looked for a veil, a vessel, and having not seen any, they went to them that sell. That's the Scripture, and that's manifested in this hour. Now, if they went to them that sell, then them that sell could not have been with them at the door either. Because they sent to them means they had to go somewhere to them who were selling. And since the ones who were selling were not at the door with the presence of the one who was knocking, they were off somewhere else. They had to go from the presence to that one. And we know that Christ is the door and he is the word. Now, how come they went to them that sell And why were not them that sell there to meet him? They were too busy selling and not paying attention to what the midnight cry was all about. Behold, he's here, come out to meet him. And he could not be here if his presence was somewhere else. So this speaks of this hour and the unrecognized presence of God, which Brother Branham preached a message on that too, which is one of the titles of Brother Branham's sermons. And from the anointed ones at the end time, Brother Branham said, Jesus said, my sheep know my word. Well, doesn't the King James say, my sheep know my voice? Notice how he interchanges word and voice. My sheep know my word. Oh, you say, hear my voice. Well, that's his word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. See, the predestinated knows this. A strange word or the strange voice they won't follow. And from his sermon, knoweth it not, Brother Branham says, then he said one day, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And he didn't explain it. Those apostles and them of that day who was ordained to life, he knowed it. Said, all the Father has given me will come. Only thing he had to do was just make my voice known. They know it. For my sheep know my voice, and a voice is the word expressed. For my sheep hear my voice, and this is the voice of God in letter form, because this, the Bible, is the entire revelation of Jesus Christ, Old and New Testament put together. Amen. There you are. So in getting back to questions and answers, conduct to order and doctrine, Brother Branham says, we hear Brother Branham read the question, have the seven thunders, which equal seven mysteries, already been revealed? Were they revealed in the seven seals, but are not yet made known to us as the thunders yet? Now listen to his answer. Notice he says, no. They were revealed in the seven seals. That's what the thunders was about. They was to reveal. The seven thunders that had uttered their voices, and no one could make out what it was. John knew what it was, but he was forbidden to write it. He said, but the seventh angel in the days of his sounding, the seven mysteries of the seven thunders would be revealed, and the seventh angel is a messenger of the seventh church age. See? So this has already happened. And if you do not believe that, that makes you an unbeliever, and that shows that you do not understand the seals, nor what the prophet of God said. Though you might listen to him every year at this time of the year. Every year in March and April. Some people, they put those seals on and they listen to him every year. And you know what? They don't understand what it's about. Now, and I'm saying all of them. I'm just saying some. A lot of them that don't. No. Now, back to the unveiling of God in 138. He says, you are written epistles, read of all men. You are our. Translate that, turn it around this way. Just turn it around. You are epistles that have been written. Because you can't add nothing to it. That's read of all men, manifested word of God. In other words, the word says certain things about the end time bride here. And now when you become that thing, you're not adding to it. You're just expressing it. You're manifesting it. Just like the voice is just an expression of what? The word. See? And Peter and John, to show it, when they went up there, they perceived that they were ignorant, unlearned. They had no education, but they taken notice. They've been with Jesus, see? They were ignorant and unlearned, but they were written epistles, see? Read that they had been with Jesus, because Jesus was manifesting himself through them. Christ veiled in their flesh, manifested, made alive, like he was in Moses. Now, when the Word was in Moses, he was God in flesh. When it was in Jesus, it was God in flesh. See, only thing he done was change his mask, not his word, not his nature. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He only changed his form. He changed from Noah to Moses. He changed from Moses to David, from David to Joseph. On down he come into the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, he's still the same God. Amen. Amen. I hope that gets true. See, it's the same God, but he just takes on another vessel. See, he puts on another veil. He did it in the reformers. He taken on the veil, taken on the veil, until finally it come down through the Lutheran age, down through the other age. Then finally it come into the complete. Just before it comes, a prophet arises again. And when it does, it foreshadows the word, showing back there, revealing what's been done. What's been left off, that the church would be not without understanding. Then when this fades out, then, like John said, I must decrease, he must increase. Then all in all comes into one. He's finally manifested through Luther, Wesley, Pentecost age, and on down and down. He's fully manifested. You see, come down, just a manifestation is God unfolding himself. Now notice, fulfilled in his promises for this day as they had. Now Moses was the word for that day because the word was given to him for that day, Moses. Joseph was the word for his day, portraying Christ exactly. See, each one of them was the word. And when Jesus came, he was the word in its fullness because the whole plan of redemption laid in him. The whole plan of redemption didn't lay in Moses. It didn't lay in Joseph. It didn't lay in Elijah. See, they were only a part of the word pointing to it. So let me just say this. All right, because he's going to make a very, let's just read his important point here. Now notice, keep your thought here. Here it comes. As I say, see, the whole plan wasn't in them. They were pointing to it. They could never be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. They were pointing to it coming. But we had to have it come in its fullness for us to point back to it and then line up with it. You understand? Therefore, after him, this is the thing he says, here it comes, he says, after him, the fullness, we cannot point to something else, it points back to him, the word. Now, if people are pointing to William Branham, they're missing the mark. They've got to point back to Christ, because Brother Branham pointed us back to Christ. This is the complete revelation. Nothing can be added or taken away from it. There is a complete revelation. All that, a shadow of him to come, but when he come, he was the perfect. Hebrews 1, God in sundry time spoke to fathers through the prophets. God spoke through the veils of prophets, but in the last days through his son Jesus Christ, there you are, unveiled out there on Calvary, the Son of God unveiled. Now notice, made alive. And today when the word is manifested in human vessels, plural, veils, plural, it's absolutely the word fulfilled in that day which comes back to God. You see, it's not the bride. It's him. It's him. It's him. Any man of God throughout the ages who has had the supernatural of God in their ministry never takes credit for it and says, look what I did. All they can say is, hey, I was a witness to what he did. It's him. It's him. It's him. Notice made alive, and today when the word is manifested in human vessels, veils, it's absolutely the word fulfilled in that day, which comes back to God, being baptized into him. According to 1 Corinthians 12, we become identified with him. So notice the Old Testament we're looking forward to, but never could be complete, never could be perfect, because they didn't know. But when God came in the fullness of his Son, or God came in fullness in his Son, and manifested and expressed everything. He just laid it all out. Now, if we in our age are looking forward, we're lost. We can only look back to what he has done and recognize that is a pattern for every son. That is the same Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Notice, made alive, and today when the word is manifested in human vessels, veils, it's absolutely the word fulfilled in that day which comes back to God, being baptized exactly. Now, if you're still looking at your veil of your flesh or the veil of flesh of others, you've missed the revelation altogether. From the unveiling of God, 184, it says we're in the last days, just the coming of the Lord. And if you find yourself outside that veil, which is death to stay out, will you by faith this morning say, by God's grace and with your help, Lord, I want to break through that veil. I want to get in where you're at to see the full word of God. Don't try to be a Moses. Don't try to be an Aaron. Don't just be who you are, but be a Christian. Would you, with your heads bowed, raise your hands to God and say, Lord God, help me inside the veil. God bless you. God bless you. Look at the hands outside. Now remember, I might not never seen your hands. It isn't worth much for me to see it anyhow. It's God. To me, it just makes me see that the seed has fell somewhere, but God sees the real heart. And to see the real heart, you have to go within the veil. And the Apostle Paul said in Romans 4, blessed is the man in whom God imputeth righteousness without works. saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered, and blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Now, he never said that you didn't do it. He just tells you here that God just won't give you credit for it. I love the way Brother Vail used to say that. Now, in closing, let me just read again from paragraph 132. He said, "The veil, tradition of unbelievers, taken away, you see God. When the veil of traditions has been removed, you can see God, that God is still God of His Word. He still keeps His Word. He's the God, author of His Word, that is hid behind skin veils to others." Yes, that's right. "To those who cannot go behind the veil, He's still behind skin veils. Now notice then, we become part of Him as you are the veils that veils Him. You are part of Him as long as Christ is in you, as Christ was in God, because God was in Him, made Him God, and as Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you become a part of Christ. He that believeth on Me, the works that I do, shall he do also." See, you become part of Christ as long as Christ is hid in you. Then it's veiled to the unbeliever, but you know He is in you. You're templing Christ that's behind the veil, the skin. Then we become behind, because of this veil, the veil again in human flesh hides God from the Word, God the Word from the unbeliever. You're revealing yourself, Lord, the mighty God, unveiled to the believer, still veiled to the unbeliever, but unveiled to the believer. May they break through today, Lord, see this great splendor and glory. May their hearts be changed before we even get back to church tonight. May they all be filled with Your Spirit and Your presence. So as Brother Vail said, even greater than the understanding of the Godhead is the understanding of His presence here. Because knowing that the Judge is here, knowing that you're in the presence of the Judge, it sanctifies you. Right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we know that we're sanctified by the Word of God, by Your truth. And Father, knowing that You're here, not only here in Your fullness of Your presence, but knowing that in each and every one of us, there's a modicum of Your life, Your Word, Your seed. And that, Father, that portion of Yourself that's in us, we look inside to that portion. And we ask You, Father, because we know that our desires are to line up with that Word which You've given us, that glory, that doxa, Your opinions, Your values, Your judgments, our desires to line up to that. And knowing that when we look within and no longer look at these veils of our flesh, we're seeing God face to face. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to You who are Spirit, knowing that it's not the flesh that we should be looking forward, because this flesh was sown in sin, born in sin, shaped iniquity, come forth to the world speaking lies. But we know that we discard this flesh when we die, of course, and we go to that predestined, that theophonic body that You have for us. And then when this flesh rots, then we come back and pick up the dust of it and reform the body into a glorified body with no blood. And because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, so if flesh and blood cannot inherit, then we can't have flesh and blood. It's got to be by Your Spirit, not by man, not by flesh nor power, but by My Word, by My Spirit, saith the Lord. So, Father, help us to realize we are spirit beings, and help us to conduct ourselves, Lord, knowing that this carcass that we drag around every day and drag to get out of bed and all those things, it's just a vessel like a car. It gets us from one place to the next. But Father, truly, who we are lays within us. And therefore, Father, we look to that inner man to see it being renewed daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we have the brothers bring forth the elements at this time, and we'll open our Bibles to John chapter 13. Let me just close this down here. And we'll go to a reading for the communion service.